Moncrief on News Talk.
This is the 75th anniversary of the pub, or at least this summer is the 75th anniversary of the publication of George Orwell's novel 1984. And since that time, even the title alone has become a byword for totalitarian control. It's also provided the title for a reality television show, and since the dawn of the digital age has become the source material for, in a crushing irony, waves of propaganda. You may have seen all sorts of quotes from George Orwell, many of which he never actually wrote or said. Dorian Linsky is author of The Ministry of Truth, a biography of George Orwell's 1984. Dorian, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
I know Orwell probably might have been resistant to a straight interpretation like this, but at the time of writing, was he thinking mostly of the Soviet Union?
He was mostly thinking about that at that point. Like, he started planning the novel and writing in his notebook quite a lot of the ideas that made it into the novel at the end of 1943, and he was thinking about Nazi Germany as well. But by the time he really started writing it after the war, obviously Hitler had been defeated. So his real concern was the totalitarian regime that was still in place, and he felt still had a great deal of sympathy by some of his sort of, he was on the left, but he felt that there were too many people on the left who were making excuses for Stalin, and he wanted to really explain to readers how totalitarianism operated in terms of what it did to people's brains and sense of self and sense of objective reality. And then also by locating it in England to say, well, look, this is not just something that happens in Russia or Germany. This is something that is to do with power and human nature, and it could happen anywhere.
I did reference these many quotes you can see in social media. For instance, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Apparently, he never wrote that. That was penned by a fellow called Selwyn Duke on Twitter, who described himself as a teller of truth and the leftist's worst nightmare. The irony of that, obviously, is that Orwell was a lifelong socialist, if a contrary one.
Oh yeah, he was the kind of socialist who liked socialism more than he liked socialists.
Yes. So
he was very easily annoyed by them and enjoyed annoying them in turn. But if you look at actually what, you know, the sort of policies when he discussed them, you know, he thought that Clement Attlee's Labour government was not left-wing enough. And ironically, a lot of American readers assumed that 1984 was a sort of satire of the Labour government. And so he was misunderstood right out of the gate and continues to be misunderstood now, and some of those fake quotes sort of play into that, and they are used by, I noticed, for example, people on Twitter after the far right violence that we've seen in the UK would be quoting Orwell or misquoting Orwell as if consumers just talking about truth versus lies, then obviously everybody thinks they're on the side of truth. And that, yes, their opponents are lying. So the book is so famous that it's almost too famous for its own good, because its message and its words get detached from Orwell's intentions and his politics, and used by people that, I mean, I don't want to speak for somebody who's been dead for 74 years. But I can't imagine, given that he went to fight in the Spanish Civil War against fascists, that he would have approved of that usage.
Yeah. And another irony, it strikes me, is that even though he's probably best known for 1984 and Animal Farm too, but given his prodigious output as a journalist and an essayist, where he actually deals with subjects like politics in the English language, about how ideas are expressed, that if he were alive today, he would be weeping, I imagine.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great shame. And I understand that obviously that not everybody is going to be, you know, treating 1984 like a book that you need to do your homework for. But it's a great shame that, of course, it is often read in isolation without a lot of those essays in which he worked out a lot of the ideas that made their way into the novel. And, you know, he had a much more sophisticated view of free speech, of the uses and abuses of language, of, you know, what a lie, well, it wasn't simply going, well, truth is good and lies are bad, because anybody could say that and we'd not remember him if that was all that he came up with. But it was really about the use the way that power operates. And that was why it felt sort of timeless at the time, even though it was describing, like you said, you know, largely what Stalin was doing. And it still holds up now because a lot of those techniques are still in play, and we can see things that we might describe as Orwellian all the time, even if the word does get overused. Mm. You know, he was really on to something about psychology, I think, most of all.
Yeah. Given you've written about the book, would you regard it as a satire? Because I'm thinking kind of there have been stage adaptations and film adaptations, and they're very grim.
Well, I mean, it's a satire in the strict sense of, you know, using in the way that it's using exaggeration to prove a point. And a lot of Orwell's writing was very funny, particularly his journalism. Mm. There's virtually no humour in 1984. When there is there, it's very, very dry. So there's a reference to them organising a spontaneous demonstration.
Yes.
Which is a nice, very yes. dry joke you might almost pass over. But, you know, he really kind of removed his natural sort of, you know, playful humour from that to make it terrifying. Mm. And that's, you know, that was the conscious warning. That's why, you know, spoiler warning, you know, it does have an unhappy ending, because his whole point was, you know, this is a warning. Once these regimes are established, you know, it's going to take a lot more than a plucky rebel to bring it down. Mm. And what you really have to work at is, in a democracy, is to avoid those bad habits taking hold.
Yeah. What was his state of health when he was writing in 1984?
When he was really writing in earnest, it was terrible. I mean, he'd had lung problems and tuberculosis for many, many years. And he'd gone off to various hospitals and gone to recuperate, even back in 1938, went to Morocco to recuperate about tuberculosis. So by this point, it was very bad. He was writing as best he could, then had to take a break and go to hospital in Glasgow. He was in the Scottish island of Jura, which was quite pleasant, but remote. And then he came back, probably unwisely, and was determined to finish it. He was kind of driven. And I don't think, from the evidence, that he thought he was going to die when he did, which was really just a few months after the book came out. But you can definitely read into the book some of the physical descriptions of pain, the sickliness of Winston Smith. That's definitely in there. But I don't like the idea. Some people say that if he wasn't ill, it wouldn't have been so depressing. And it's like, no, that definitely, he could have been fighting fit. And the whole point of the book would to be shocking and depressing and scary. And I find one of the scariest things about it is almost everything that he describes in the book is not futuristic at all. And it is based on his own research, reading and talking to people who knew about the Soviet Union at that time, who knew about Nazi Germany, and almost everything that takes place in the book, with some little tweaks here and there and a little bit of sci-fi imagination, is essentially what had already been done. And so you get this really weird thing after it comes out, where lots of newspapers, their reporters would be in Eastern Europe or Soviet Union, and they go, oh, it's like 1984. And it's like, no, 1984 is like that.
Yes.
The other way around.
It's actually right now. Dorian, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dorian Lynskey there, author of The Ministry of Truth, a biography of George Orwell's 1984.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.